Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to week 8. I can't even believe it's week 8 of the Fantasy Fade Route. With me this week, we're a man down. Roto underscore Juan, Mike, is out. So Jason and I will be holding down the fort today. Jason, what's up with you, man?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Week 8, again, we keep talking about it. The season just is flying by. I mean, we are 8 weeks in, and, more than halfway through the regular season, and or about halfway through the regular season when we get through the week's action this week, and a lot of things are settling into place, and we're kind of able to see where different teams are and whatnot. Before I get too far into this week's episode, I want to remind everybody, patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month gets you access to the Slack chat, get you access to all the cheat sheets for every sport imaginable in the DFS landscape. NBA is getting heated up right now. Obviously, the NFL is always hot. During the baseball season, that's always hot as well. A lot of different tools and stuff in that community. So again, patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month. Check it out. You'll see dignitaries such as myself and Jason in that community. So definitely something to get involved with. Before we go into our game-by-game breakdown, I wanted to look at the week that just was in the NFL. Jason, why don't you give me one or two takeaways you have from week 7 and thinking about the season where we are today. Something that's, things that are sticking out to you for week 7 in the NFL.
We had some trades go down, and like last week and then already before this week. Trade deadlines next week. It's changed. Teams are going to change. It's not as drastic as like NBA or anything, but teams are changing, and we're seeing a bunch of the rookie running backs start to really, really take hold of their backfields, which I know you've been looking forward over there with Kerryon.
Oh, yeah. Sunday was a good day. Good day.
My Sony got hurt, so yeah. I'll have to wait another couple weeks for him to get back in shape.
But it's not season ending, so that's always that's a good thing.
Nah.
Yeah.
So. We finally got some action out of Nick Chubb.
Yeah, Nick Chubb now with that trade of Carlos Hyde. Yeah, we're good to go in Cleveland there. It's going to be the Chubb show.
Oh, yeah. Now we just have to get Royce Freeman to get a little bit more involved over there in Denver.
And he's a little banged up as well. So,
yeah.
A couple things stand out for me as I look at week 7 and kind of some trends. As you mentioned, the Detroit running game is solid. They were gashing. I watched a lot of that game. I was actually able to kind of settle in and watch a lot of that game. They were able to gash Miami pretty something fierce. Kerryon, over 170 total combined yards. LeGarrette Blount, when he was in the game, was running pretty hard and well. So their running game is something. I know you guys saw them in New England, and you saw them, saw them in that Sunday night affair. I thought it might be just an aberration, but I think they might be onto something with that offensive line and the scheme they've got there. So Detroit's running game is something to watch going forward. Also, the Chargers are rounding into form. I know your guy Melvin Gordon was out, but they still over in London got the win, and they've only lost to the two best teams in football. So the Chargers, Uncle Phil, that passing game looks to be rounding into form as we hit pretty much the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, with Melvin Gordon, I have him in every season long league that I'm in. I'm only in 3 this year. I kind of cut it back a little bit, but I had to replace. I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I replaced him with Kerryon Johnson in one league, so that worked out.
That worked out well. Yes.
Nick Chubb in another league, so that was I think it was like 15 points or something like that.
Yeah, you went with the young guys, which was smart.
Yeah, and then Marlon Mack in my money league, my dynasty league that we put money into. So that worked out real well.
Yeah, not a bad way to go with some of those selections you made there. So the one last thing I will point out, and we've talked about on the podcast, most pundits have talked about it throughout the season, was on display again last night. Boy, oh boy, can running backs just have a field day against the Falcons. Saquon did Saquon things. The kid is special, but pretty much any back right now, especially if they can catch the ball, just forget about it. I mean, just lock them up in one of your roster spots going forward for the rest of the year. Okay, let's work our way through week 8. Abbreviated slate, we've got 4 teams on bye. Falcons, Cowboys, Chargers, and the Titans. First game we'll take a look at, if you're going to play the Thursday through Monday slate, you'd look at this, but likely if you are playing players in this game, it's going to be in the showdown slate, and that is the Dolphins coming off that loss against my Detroit Lions, playing the Houston Texans down in Houston. The over-under I've got at 44.5. Houston big favorite, 7.5-point favorite. Jason, why don't you go through a fade you have out of this game?
Man, I don't really like anybody in on, man, besides like DeAndre Hopkins. I don't really like anybody on the other side. I'm sure you'll have somebody. But
yeah. I mean, so for me, if I think about this game and who I might want to fade, I'm fading Kenyon Drake, and here's why. He came off a pretty nice effort against the Lions. He's almost up at 100 yards. I think about 72 yards or so, 76 yards, somewhere in there. And he might be a popular pick in a showdown slate to be a little contrarian. But I think Houston's defense is starting to show up. They played well against Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville doesn't have some of their big pieces in the run game. There's still a timeshare with Frank Gore. People, again, in this world of DFS and then fantasy sports chasing that shiny object, and Kenyon Drake's a guy people have been wanting to play all year. I'm fading him this week in the showdown slate. I'm going elsewhere.
Yeah, actually, I think I have Drake and Gore like right next to each other. I just started doing my ranking, so kind of start with the earlier games and kind of move away from that. But
yeah, exactly. What about a lock here? Who's your lock for this week or this week's Thursday night showdown?
That's probably going to be Lamar Miller.
Okay.
He started getting back to the involvement that he had last year when Deshaun was quarterbacking, and we just saw what happened to Miami last week, so. I'll probably just go right back to, a pretty workhorse running back there.
Yeah, and so Miller for me was my sleeper. My lock was DeAndre Hopkins in this game. I just feel like Nuke, if he can do that to the Jacksonville squad, have a pretty representative day, pretty good day, catch a touchdown. He's pretty much matchup proof in my eyes. So I'm going to lock in Hopkins, and I'll go sleeper with Miller. So I like that Miller pick. And again, if you're playing showdown slate, I've tried the 4-1 technique where you use 4 players from one side and one, because you have to use one on the other side. So I would go, I'd use Miller if you can get Nuke in there, maybe Fuller, whatever tight end you want to pick out of Houston. Ryan Griffin, or maybe even the Houston defense is probably actually the better play here.
Yeah.
And then, your pick of maybe like a Miami receiver, and I think you should be all set for the showdown slate. And there's an edge to be had in those slates. I mean, I've done probably just as well in those as I've done in any other type of format through 7 weeks of the season. So, anything else on this game, Jason?
Nah, I just hope Miami loses. Pats need some help to win that division, it looks like.
The Pats don't need any help to win that division. Are you kidding me? They won the division since time immemorial, man. They don't need any help.
We were 1 yard away from losing to the Bears.
That was pretty crazy. So, all right, let's move on to, again, people be mindful of this. It's not on the main slate. It's a 9:30 a.m. game in jolly old England. It's the defending champs who are a little bit reeling here, taking on London's home team at this point for NFL reasons. The Jags, who also are reeling. The over-under right now, I've got it at 42. The Eagles are 3-point favorites. I'm going to give a fade out of this game. And for me, it's TJ Yeldon. Jacksonville just seems a mess. They bench Bortles in the game, go to Kessler. the run game, you know, Yeldon, I think, is what he is. He's not Leonard Fournette. He's not a top flight back. He's a serviceable back. And if you're looking to fade people here, he, to me, is just as good as any. I don't want to, as Mike was talking about last week, we don't want to just say fade an entire side of the ball or something like that. I want to give you a specific pick. So I'm going to say TJ Yeldon in this matchup. What about a lock for you in this game, Jason?
Man, if, how much is Carlos Hyde going to play?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. He's still got to learn the offense. It's at a position that, you know, pretty easy to come up with. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his, what, you know, what his play is. I think that's something we probably want to monitor throughout the week and see what you're hearing from beat writers and stuff on the coaching, coaching decisions there from Carlos Hyde. But if he plays, I'm guessing he is your lock then, huh?
Yeah, I really like him, but I mean, really, I might just lock in Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles historically does really well in London. That team gets over there really early in the week. They play out there every year. So, I mean, yeah. What did he had three touchdowns to what was the tight end's name last year
for Mercedes Lewis?
Yeah, Mercedes Lewis. That's
I mean, so do you think
they just show up when they go over there?
Do you think Bortles really even gets the start though? Like, is he even going to get the start?
He should. Yeah. Benching him last week, that was a huge mistake. Like, I know Bortles is terrible, but if you're trying to win a game, like, he's the best quarterback on that roster. Yeah. So.
Sure.
Till they trade for Derek Carr, I guess.
That would be the way to go, yeah. And we'll get into those Raiders in a little bit. For me, a sleeper in this game, Corey Clement. The running game in Philly, you hear a lot of rumors about trying to get a Le'Veon Bell, trying to get some other piece in the backfield. But and they probably need to do something to shake things up. I know Mike's not here, and he's usually our Philly insider. But I like Corey Clement. Again, if you're going to do, I think the sites are offering a showdown for the London game too.
Yeah, they did last week.
Yeah, so Corey Clement is a nice way. I mean, he's cheering time with Wendell Smallwood, but I like him as a little bit under the radar play. You know where most of the usage goes in the Philly offense, right? With Wentz, Ertz, Jeffrey. Aguilar's been quiet a little bit, but I like Corey Clement in this matchup. So, all right, let's move on to a NFC East matchup. The division leading Washington team is going to the Giants to play one of the league's worst teams at this point in New York. 42 is the over-under. Washington is a 1-point favorite. Who are you fading in this matchup, Jason?
Oh man, yeah, and the Washington's defense has really kind of turned it on lately.
Yeah, they have.
Should I chase their defense's running back squashing last week and fade Saquon?
You can do that, but you know we are trying to track and see how. Some of these picks are going over the course of time. That might not be the way I might go. You could try to fade him, but he might be in that matchup-proof category to me at this point. And in fact, I have him as a lock.
Yeah, but I mean, so was Zeke. I mean, and you see how they shut down Zeke last week.
They did on the road, right? It was in DC. This one is up in wherever they call it, MetLife at this point. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about fading Saquon. That'd be tough.
It's a bold call.
It's a bold call. I'm very uncomfortable with that. I mentioned him as my lock. I think for me in this game, a sleeper, Sterling Shepard played really well last night. He falls into kind of what you were talking about, that number two receiver. Really of trying to hone in on that in a lot of these teams, in a lot of these situations. So I like Sterling Shepard. I don't know necessarily who he might be matched up with throughout the game, but You know, maybe they throw Evan Engram in the slot. Maybe let Shepard work out the slot and outside as well. So I like him as a sleeper pick in this. Do you have any other sleepers you have, in this Washington-New York game?
If Chris Thompson's ready to go,
yeah.
I'm all about some Chris Thompson against the Giants.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
With the Giants, like, what do you think? Do you think it's Eli that's, like, messing up the whole thing? Because the offense is so talented.
Yeah, there's skill there. Is it just
the offensive line and the fact that Eli is not mobile? Or is it Eli?
I think it's both. I mean, the offensive line they spent money on, right? Your boy Nate Solder, I think, is up there. The offensive
line. Yeah, but
I think
PFF had them, like, they were like 26th last year, mm-hmm. and I think their upgraded them all the way to like 25th at the beginning of the year. So.
Yeah, it's a total mess. They got to start from scratch again. Eli, you know, God bless him. He's got the two rings and everything like that. But it's time for a change there at quarterback. What he was doing there towards the end of the game with the two QB sneaks, I got to imagine that's his own play. That's his own call, his own doing. It's just a mess there. For me, so
just wasting away all the time on the clock.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what he was doing with that. And like you said, skill position players and OBJ and Saquon and Shepard and Engram. So it's a trigger man on the offensive line. So anyway, we'll move on. We'll move to a game that should be actually quite interesting. Two teams definitely needing this win. Seattle comes here to the Great Lakes State, take on the Detroit Lions. Over-under is 49.5. The Lions, 3-point favorites. For me, in this matchup, the fades I have are the Seattle wide receivers. Obviously, Tyler Lockett is a guy people have used or wanted to use from time to time throughout the season. I think Detroit secondary is decent. I'm going to give it decent. You know, middle of the pack to decent. Slay will be matched up on either him or Baldwin. It just kind of depends. I don't know if he'll travel. But I talked about not liking Russell Wilson to start the season. He's grown on me a little bit, but I don't necessarily like the Seattle wide receiver core in this game. So I'm fading them. What about your lock in this game, Jason?
I'll probably go back to carry on.
That's who I had. That's why I got him right circled with big red pen on my book here. So.
Yeah, he was explosive. Seattle's defense is just a shell of its former self. It's at home. It's going to be on the fast track in Detroit. I like that a lot for carry on.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on that. He has got a lot of talent and really showing why it was wise to pick him. I know there's a lot of debate up here about why do you need to go with that running back, but he could be a difference maker for sure as they try to make a push here. For me, sleeper in this matchup is Marvin Jones. The offense is funneled for Detroit through the run game, as we talked about to start the podcast and just a second ago with Carry On. Golden Tate gets his target share and his target volume. And we talked about Kenny Galladay pretty much every week. But Marvin Jones is kind of the forgotten man, and he still gets a lot of targets in this offense. If I look at his price on FanDuel this week especially, it's only $6,000, so... he is a bit of a big play kind of guy. Like you mentioned, fast track at home, coming off the win on the road. I can see the coaching staff looking to get him involved. So I like Marvin Jones as my sleeper here.
Yeah, he's one of those wide receivers that's always like a great tournament play because he can dud like he did last week, or he can go out for, of course, all the wide receivers dudded when your running back goes for 100, what it was, 170, 180 yards,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, combined.
But Yeah, Marvin can also have those like 150-yard, 2-touchdown, 3-touchdown games too. So
perfect for a GPP setup. Yep. Perfect
yep. GPP especially setup. At home.
Yep. Any other sleepers you have in this game?
Nah, not really.
All
right. I'm not really high on any of Seattle. And they, you know, it's the usual suspects over there in
Gotcha.
In Detroit.
Yep. All right, we'll move on to Carolina. The Baltimore Ravens going to Charlotte to play the Panthers. Panthers coming off a pretty impressive fourth quarter to pull that game out against Philly. The over-under here is only 43. Baltimore, though, road favorite. Two points right now. Who are you fading in this matchup of pretty decent teams?
Yeah, I mean, Cam did Cam things. The Ravens are probably easily the best defense in the league right now. They're also one of the best offenses in the league too. Not in scoring points wise, but just time of possession and
they're first accumulators.
Downs, converting downs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're accumulators. They put up a lot of stats, which is what we want in this game. So, but who are you fading on this this squad?
Man, probably Devin Funches.
Mm.
Yeah, I like Greg Olsen a little bit more. I think CMC they'll get him worked in enough that he'll be fine. So yeah, probably Devin Funches.
I think I would agree with that. With Greg Olsen in the mix, it's like Funches' target share drops and everything else. So
yeah,
it's definitely a good fade for me. My lock called it last week. Wrote about it in the article for Lineup Logic. John Smokey Brown, man, that air yards number bears out. I mean, he had a really big game against the Saints. I see him in line for another big game here. He's got something working with Flacco. You know, big enough sample size now. The guy's legit. He's still under 7,000 on FanDuel. He's only 6,700 this week. I mean, put him in your lineups and let's just go. I mean, he's averaging 13.5 fantasy points per game in the seven games that have been played on that site, you know, if you're looking at FanDuel scoring. So give me John Brown this week and lock it up. Who's your sleeper out of this matchup? Do you have a person you're kind of thinking about in the sleeper standpoint?
Not really.
Well, I'll give you one. What about Alex Collins? You know, he's didn't have the game I think people were looking for last week against the Saints. He's almost a forgotten man because he got Buck Allen back there as well. Look at his price really quick.
6.1.
Yeah. The price may be a little, you know,
prohibitive.
Off-putting. Yeah. I mean, if he was under 6, maybe he's a little bit better.
Because Buck is still 5.5.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're splitting time. And it's going to be, it'll be like a, I really think that's like Collins' real game script. I mean, those two running backs, if they're falling behind, then you'll see more Buck Allen. If they get a good lead, then you'll see more Alex Collins. So,
all right, if we're gonna go away from, kind of hard to read that. Yeah, if we're gonna go away from Collins, let's go Willie Snead as another sleeper here in that matchup. He's got decent target share. You know, they got, you know, concentration in Brown. Crabtree as well, but I like Willie Snead as a sleeper too if we're going to go away from Alex Collins.
Yeah, quick slot guy.
Yep. So, all right, let's move on to a game that will have a lot of scoring one way or another if you listen to Vegas here. Denver is going on the road to Arrowhead, one of the toughest places in the whole NFL to place the surging Kansas City Chiefs, the over-under, 54.5. Chiefs, huge favorites, 10-point favorites at home. If I look at this matchup, I'm looking to fade Sammy Watkins from the Chiefs. I've been waiting for, and again, with a lot of these situations, again, we're 7 weeks in. We are starting to understand where target share goes, where volume goes, where offenses are leaning towards. Sammy Watkins is sort of, if you want to call it, the fourth cog in this wheel. Sometimes not even that. You know, I'm tired of kind of waiting for him to have that big blow up game or something like that. We know the usual suspects in Casey. It's Kelce, Hunt, Hill, and obviously Pat, you know, is a trigger man. I don't want Sammy Watkins. And at 6,400, there's really no reason to go with
no.
him this week. So who do you like as a lock in this game? There's probably a lot to choose from.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Did you see him try and make another left-handed pass last week?
The man is a stud right now. That guy is just he's the future. The future is now. And I was trying to stay away from the hyperbole and all that stuff, but he is just a bad man. I'm just waiting for when we get to playoffs, you know, the playoffs, and they have to go back to New England again. I want to see that matchup again. So I know you might not want to see that.
Yeah, the way they're playing, we might be going there. And I'd much rather have them come to us.
Exactly. No, I like Pat there. My sleeper in this matchup, oddly enough, comes from the Denver side of the ball. I'm going to go Philip Lindsay. Freeman's health, a little bit in question. He got the bum ankle. Philip Lindsay, you know, runs hard. We've talked about him on the podcast this season. Runs with a purpose. The coach staff seems to like him. And if Freeman is at all banged up, we know what we have with Devontae Booker, and that's nothing. He's not very good. Lindsay's 6,500 on FanDuel. He's, you know, if we talk about Alex Collins that last game, I'd probably go with Philip Lindsay over Alex Collins if given the choice. And he's a, you know, a lot of people aren't going to look at the Denver offense, I don't think, in this matchup. But Vegas sees it as high scoring, and you know, I don't think it's necessarily just all on one side because you know, we're not sold on Kansas City's defense. So I like Philip Lindsay as a sleeper pick in this game.
I like Cortland Sutton as a sleeper.
Okay.
Because he is starting to like really come into his own. He's the cheapest of the three receivers. Manny is going to get his. Manny is going to feast in this game. Mm-hmm. DT, I don't know if it's just the play calling or, you know, they're just not calling plays for Demaryius, or whether he's just like, you know, he's getting up there in age. Just like Manny's up there too. But he doesn't seem like himself.
Yeah.
I really think this is a game where, you know, they're going to have to, Case Keem's going to have to chunk the ball. And that's where Cortland Sutton shines. So I really like Cortland Sutton in this one.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely a way to go. You know, he's slowly eroding in DT's role on that team. So not a bad sleeper choice. All right, let's move on to a AFC North game. Cleveland Browns. They are just an interesting team. Coming out of the Hard Knocks and all that stuff. And this is an interesting team with all the close games they're playing. But they are going to Pittsburgh to face their hated division rivals in the Steelers. The over-under is high in this one, 51. I've got the Steelers as 8-point favorites. Who are you fading in this Cleveland-Pittsburgh matchup, Jason?
Oh, man. That's kind of a hard one.
Yeah.
they're both like real talented offenses, and man, I might actually fade Chubb on this one.
Ooh.
just because the high power of the Steelers offense at home, it might be more of a Duke Johnson game than a Nick Chubb type of game. Mm-hmm. With Haley over there, he kind of has a history. Of course, he had Love Bell before, so you kind of just go with one back when you have Love Bell. But most of this year, even he's pretty much just stuck to one back. Yeah. So,
all right, that's a bold call because a lot of people will be chasing Nick Chubb. So, for me, a lock in this game is Juju Smith-Schuster, falling in line with your, you know, the fantasy fade route sort of. A seal of approval, that second receiver. He's really more like a 1B when you think about it and the way Pittsburgh runs their offense. they're gonna feast. Cleveland's defense is better than I think people have given them credit for, and I think actually people are catching up to how good Cleveland's defense is, but they're still susceptible, and they can be had. So I like Juju as a lock in this one. So, what about a sleeper in this matchup, Jason?
The sleeper, I'm going to go to the other running back over there and just say Duke Johnson. Mm. And I already illustrated the reasons why I thought this is more of a Duke Johnson game.
Yeah, I could definitely hopefully, see that. What do you think his floor is? What do you think his floor, you know, we talk about FanDuel, maybe like on a DraftKings. What do you think his floor is, especially with that full point PPR?
Oh, man. I'd have to look it up here. Hold on.
All right.
Let me see.
Yeah, I mean,
let me see if I've got to him yet.
Yeah,
I don't know. His floor is probably like 8 to 10 points, yeah, something like that.
I would have said about 10 points, yeah. And then, you know, like 5 catches, you know, 50 yards or so, something like that. Yep. And then you see what happens in the rest of the, you know, if he gets a couple carries and whatnot. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I said it in the Slack chat, like the Browns, they're just playing like kingpin. Like, you know, you go a game and a half to pad all your stats, you know, every game.
Exactly.
Is it four or five overtime games now?
This year.
And they go down to the wire. It's not even like, one possession or whatever. It's, oh no, we're going to use this whole 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. So, okay, let's move on to another game. The Bucks, who pulled off that miracle win of sorts against Cleveland last week, going to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, who coming off the Sunday night drubbing. Over under in this game is 53.5. Cincinnati 4-point favorites. For me, if I'm fading someone on this team, a lot of people like this guy, but I don't like him necessarily on the road, even with the weapons, and that's Jameis Winston. I think at the end of the season, Tampa may be looking for a different quarterback, and I don't really like the matchup, even though Cincinnati's a little banged up and a little bit reeling. I don't like Jameis going to Cincinnati in this matchup. I think there's other quarterbacks you can find even on this abbreviated slate. So fading Jameis Winston on this slate. Who are you locking, Jason, in this matchup?
Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way you can get away from that guy.
Yeah.
It's another one of our young running backs that's just taking the bull by the horns and not afraid of Mark Walton doing too much to his job.
Not security, at all. Joe Mixon is a guy I've been on all season long. You know, he's going to emerge by the end of this year as one of the top 10 runners in the sport. So he's, you know, if we talk about floor, his floor is such that I think it's double digits for sure. It's probably like a 12-point floor on a site like DK. I mean, on FanDuel, he's averaging almost 15 points a game. His salary is $7,800. I'm getting a lot of shares of Joe Mixon this week, so I'm with you on that as a lock. For me, especially
with Melvin Gordon out, you got to find got to find somebody to replace that 30 points.
You know? got to. For me, I'm looking at the run game as well as in the sleeper here, and I'm gonna go with Ronald Jones. Looks like Peyton Barber is a little dinged up. Not necessarily sure all what's happening with him. But, you know, again, Cincinnati could be run on. Kareem Hunt had a fun little evening last Sunday. And they drafted Ronald Jones with the purpose of playing him at some point. And so I like him. His price is really affordable on FanDuel at $5,200. So, I like him as my sleeper in this matchup. And, you know, if you're going to get some side of the Tampa Bay offense, I go to Ronald Jones here. So, all right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move to the Windy City. The Bears are hosting the Jets. The over-under is 45.5. Those pesky Chicago Bears that almost pulled off the at least getting the overtime against your Patriots, they are 7-point favorites in this matchup. If I look at both sides of the ball there, who are you fading, Jason?
Jermaine Curse, since
Oh.
he was my lock for the Jets last week.
We've been doing this
No,
together
actually,
too long because, like, I had him down as a fade too.
I'm having to play Jermaine Curse in one of my leagues that I'm doing terrible in. I thought I was gonna win, and I lost by like 4 points. And I look, and I'm like, oh, Jermaine Curse has a zero. Okay, thank you.
Well, the terrible is gonna continue if you gotta play Jermaine Curse. I'm gonna tell you right now, man. Like that's I'm with you on fading him. Do you have another fade?
I haven't watched that game yet, so I was like, I don't know what happened. I know Robbie Anderson got 10 targets and only got three of them, so I guess the Jets coaching staff just decided to throw their we're just going to keep Sam Darnold throwing short little chunk plays. But
yeah, no, it's good. What about in this matchup, who is your lock with the Bears and the Jets? I've got one, but I want to see if we're pretty much simpatico on a lot of these right now. But who's your lock? I've got one right in my crosshairs.
What about Mitch Trubisky, since
Are
he's
you
been
kidding
like
me?
a
It's like we did this
top
pre-show
four
or something. Yeah, now I've
like a
got Mitch
he's like
as
a
well.
top four quarterback the last 2 or 3 weeks since the bye, I guess. So
yeah, I'm right there with you. That was who I had down as a lock. He's averaging almost 24 points a game on FanDuel, 7,700. He's starting to see more of the field. I think he did really well in that Patriots game. Watch a lot of that game as well. He did really well. And again, the Patriots aren't the greatest defense in the world, but they're able to scheme with Trubisky. They're able to get him some RPOs. They're able to get him, you know, outside the pocket a little bit. He had a nice, you know, it was like a 10-yard run, but he ran 70 yards to get the touchdown.
Yeah,
I mean that was,
yeah.
I got you here with him as a lock. I'm there right with you. What about
this? I mean, this is how you build a team.
Yeah,
like if you have a young quarterback, they just you know, you got two stud running backs in Howard and Cohen, and then they went out and got Robinson and Gabriel and Miller. You know,
and
Trey
Burton. Yeah.
They just filled that roster with talent at every position, and that's how you make a good team when you have a young quarterback.
Put them in a position to succeed. Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. So, for me, the sleeper I've got in this matchup is Jordan Howard. You know, Tariq Cohen eating into some of the production there, but the price has come down on Jordan Howard. He's only 6K on FanDuel, which is probably reflective of maybe where his role is. But in this matchup against the Jets, I think he's going to find some success. For me, I think his floor is, you know, 10 points on FanDuel. He even catches the ball still. I mean, they're still...
And sometimes they kind of went away from that after the first couple games. I don't know why
he caught a couple balls.
It seemed like he was doing well.
Yeah, he caught a couple balls last week, if I remember that game correctly. So I like him as a sleeper here. And that 6K, I'm willing to pay that for you know, what I think is a pretty decent floor. So and again, it depends on your game type, what you're gonna play. You know. With Jordan Howard there. So let's move on to a game that will be very interesting to see what happens with. We got the Colts going to Oakland to play the Raiders. The over-under is 50 for some reason, and the Colts are 3-point favorites. If I look at this matchup with, we talked about when we started off the podcast today with the trade of Amari Cooper, and you've got Marshawn Lynch on the shelf in this matchup. I don't see a real path for a lot of offensive success for the Raiders. And so I'm fading Derek Carr. I think he's got to be hearing the footsteps of his time being very short in Oakland. And that's not him moving to Vegas with the Raiders. I think that's just him going to another squad. So I'm fading Derek Carr. I'm not trying to get cute with this, and he's who I'm fading. What about a lock in this game for you, Jason?
I'm going right back to Marlon Mack.
Nice pick. Nice pick.
They held him out, held him out, held him out. Just trying to make sure he was right. He came back in, got 12 carries the first game back. He had 89 yards on 12 carries, like insane. Came out last week, involved in the entire offense, catching passes, running between the tackles, outside, doesn't matter. If you go to like player profiler, I think his comp is Marshawn Lynch, and his stats like actually read like almost across the board like Melvin Gordon. So he's just a little bit smaller than Melvin. I love this dude. I've been waiting for him, and now we've got him. I love him in this matchup too.
That is a very, very sound and solid pick. Is a lot. For me, my sleeper, now I did mention I don't see a path for a lot of passing success for Derek Carr. But, again, true to form, fantasy fade route, true to form, second receiver now stepping into that role. What about Martavis Bryant? If there's any success in the air, you could think Jerry Cook, you could think Jordy Nelson. But what about Martavis Bryant? I think that's a way to go. He's now the number two guy there. Maybe the third option, but number two receiver. He's had talent. He showed it in his days in Pittsburgh. You can do worse than Martavis Bryant as a sleeper, as a wide receiver in this matchup. I'm just going to quickly check his price. He's coming in at $5,300 on FanDuel, so it's dirt cheap for a guy who's probably going to get, what would you say, 7-8 targets in this game? So
probably. So they're gonna have to air it out.
Yeah, I don't see it being successful, but he's a way to go there. Any sleepers? Any other sleepers you got in this game?
What did Andrew Luck have last week? I think it was like 180. I don't even think he broke 200 yards passing
before spikes. Yeah,
four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Eric Ebron.
Yes, that is the. The running, reoccurring thought on the fantasy
fade route. He had a bad week last week, but
Eric Ebron had a bad week. Shocker to no one, right? Shocker to no one. That is what he does. That is his move. Everybody's got a move. That is Eric Ebron's move, is to have these sporadic bad weeks. Especially, I just don't think he's a great player, but we've belabored that many episodes in this season, so.
Is he still leading the league in touchdowns? Let me see. Last 3 weeks, he's got 3 touchdowns. How much does he have for this season?
Probably got
6. Six. And second for tight ends is Trey Burton.
Yeah. Give me Trey Burton all day long over Eric Ebron. But that, again, that doesn't surprise anyone who's listened to the show. So. All right. We'll move on to the game. Maybe the game of the... main slate, maybe the game of main slate. It's the Packers going out to La La Land to play the undefeated Los Angeles Rams. Over/under 56.5. Rams only 8.5-point favorites, and I think that line has already moved again. So you want to watch for that as the week progresses. See what Vegas is thinking on that.
I've actually got it as 9.5-point favorites.
Okay. All right. So it's moved since I even looked earlier this. This afternoon, who are you fading on either one of these squads?
Man, the Green Bay backfield, all three of them.
Yeah, nothing has really emerged there, right? We thought a couple weeks ago Aaron Jones would be the guy.
But Aaron Jones is like Christian Michael.
Yeah.
Everybody thought, and Christian Michael... he's had success at times, but he's a great running back, and he's a terrible football player. And when I watch Aaron Jones, he kind of reminds me of that type, like, oh man, super explosive running back and just like a terrible football player. I mean, maybe he's young enough. They can get those issues corrected, but time will tell on that one.
Yeah. That's a pretty, pretty solid fade. The lock of all locks, the guy is pretty much your league MVP. I know it seems lazy, but it's Todd Gurley. I mean, the production is out of control. I mean, he just, you pencil him in for a touchdown and a half, probably two touchdowns at a minimum, and that's crazy. This is crazy production right now. The only hesitation on a site like FanDuel is he's all the way up to 11,000. So, if you want to price him for us and say, you can't play a guy that's going to take up, 25, 30% of your cap or whatever, I could see that, but the production is there, and Green Bay is not going to slow this guy down. So he's my lock. That's just, until proven otherwise, the guy's on track for an MVP type season. So
he's still 9.8 on DK. So his price didn't go up. It went down last week, and then it stayed the same this week.
Yeah, on FanDuel, so that's one of those site-specific plays where on DraftKings, there is absolutely no reason not to play Todd Gurley. And on FanDuel, maybe you go in other routes, but the problem is on that main slate, as we mentioned, you got guys like Mixon and Hunt and Kerryon and Saquon. So, I mean, there's some ways you can differentiate a little bit, but... Whew, yeah, Todd Gurley is the truth, averaging almost 30 FanDuel points for the season. So, who do you have as a sleeper in this game?
And do I have to go back to Josh Reynolds?
you can go back there if you'd like. Cooper Kupp is still out, so It didn't
no, I actually kind of like Geronimo should be back this week. Okay. So I kind of like Geronimo because this, I mean, it's another, the Rams are basically scoring at will. Devontae Adams is going to get his, but they're gonna have to utilize another weapon. And Aaron Rodgers can chunk the ball, and Geronimo Allison is very fast. It's not the best spot.
No, but I
to
can
get
see,
after the Rams.
But you can see a route to production, right? I mean, you can see a route to production, yeah. So, and that's what we're doing. We're just trying to project and see that production. For me, I also see if he plays and a guy is kind of left on the scrap heap is Randall Cobb. If for whatever reason Allison doesn't go, you do have Valdez Scantling, but I kind of like Randall Cobb as that secondary receiving option for the Packers in a game where they got to score to keep up.
it's a little bit easier to attack the Rams in that the center of the field too. But yeah, the way Rodgers plays, just the way Rodgers plays, if they get down, he's going to run around and chunk it. He's going to be looking for those deep opportunities. So
exactly. So, all right, we'll move on to a game that we'll be brief on. The Niners playing the Cardinals, 43 over/under. Cardinals are 1-point favorites. There's some news here, with respect to Mike McCoy being fired as offense coordinator in Arizona, so that might have some impact on the Arizona offensive
what
side.
What is the spread you have on that game?
I've got it as Arizona's -1.
But what I mean is I've got it 21.5, 21.5 even.
Yeah,
so
I'd have to pull that slide back up because I just kind of got that down. But yeah, I think that was about where I had it at too. So I mean, Vegas sees it almost as a pick, basically as a pick'em. So
yeah, it is a pick'em. So I consider anything like less than 3 points a pick'em. Yeah. So
for me, I'm fading CJ Beathard. He was kind of a DFS darling last week in terms of people trying to play him, and I think he is what he is. I think he's a serviceable quarterback, I'm going elsewhere if I'm getting any players out of this game. So for me, he's a fade. I don't want to be try to be smarter than the average bear, so to speak, and go with CJ Beathard in this matchup. Who are you locking in on this game, if you gotta find a lock? Because I'm saying you gotta find a lock.
David Johnson, and just hoping that this coaching change is significant. the guy that's coming in was the quarterback's coach, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was there with Arians, so hopefully we can get this fixed.
Yeah, the situation needs to be fixed like ASAP. I mean, David Johnson, super talented guy. He was my lock as well. I think they're going to do everything in their power to get him the football in the right positions on the field to actually do something with and make a play and not just plow him right in behind the guard and center and expect him to do something. So for me, I'm going to go with a sleeper on the Niners side of the ball, and it's at the running back position. If Matt Breeder can't play because of the ankle injury, Raheem Mostert, he's got a little bit of wiggle, a little bit of juice to his game. Totally, in my mind, supplanted Alfred Morris, and so if you're going to get any sort of options from San Francisco backfield, it's him for me. It's a very very light sleeper, almost a deep Rip Van Winkle, but he's a play definitely. Maybe, you know, on a site like DraftKings, maybe more so than FanDuel, because you have the ability to catch a ball as well with him. Any sleepers you have on either side of the ball?
Going right back to Christian Kirk.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Did you see that tweet that I put in our Slack chat?
No, I missed that. I missed that.
Sunday morning. It was this guy. I was looking for Melvin Gordon news on Twitter.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, "Man, the first week I finally get to play Melvin Gordon and Dalvin Cook together, and they're both out." And I forgot who his first running back was, but he's like, "Now I've got to play like Deion Lewis and something called a Raheem Mostert."
That's very funny. It's very funny. Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things where it's. The beautiful part about joining our Slack is you get these little nuggets of information like that, and these little kind of fun things that'll have you chuckling most of the day. So that's kind of a funny little thing.
Yeah, I forget the guy that had tweeted it. I'd give him credit, but it was just hilarious as soon as I read it.
Exactly. All right, we'll move on to the Sunday night affair. Should be a good one. New Orleans going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Over-under is a little high, in my estimation, at 53. New Orleans is a one-point favorite. Who are you fading of anybody in this matchup, Jason?
I mean, I might fade Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Like,
oh, both.
That,
oh, okay. I had Ingram down as a fade, but you're going to fade both. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of difficult with the two of them right now. I don't think they had it figured out last year, and this year it seems like they don't quite have it figured out again. Maybe it's still a little bit different offensive personnel with the different wide receivers that they've got. They can't quite figure out the balance between their running and passing game. But yeah, Minnesota's going to score points. I'm pretty sure at home. It's a dome game, so Drew should be relatively comfortable airing out in the dome too.
Yeah, I think I can support your Ingram fade because I had him down as well. We have been doing the show a lot together because like we're seeing the world a little bit the same way. I had your Ingram fade. I don't know about Kamara just because I feel like that floor is pretty solid. I mean, you know, again, we're seeing where. Production lies on a lot of these situations, and even just for his pass casting ability on both sides, and especially like, you know, if you go over DK, I mean, Kamara, like, you know, his floor is like 12. Now his price is prohibitive, but
yeah, his price is up there. Yeah. I think there's better options in that.
I think so.
Price range this week.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm on a full fade of him because he does have that. Explosive ability, you know, he only needs a little bit of space to break out. So for me in this game, when I look at Locke though, you guys were on him early in the season. It took me a while to get on board, but production is production. Adam Thielen might be the best wide receiver in the game right now. The output is ridiculous. 100 yards in every single game this year. You know, his floor is something like six catches. You can't mess with the numbers are what the numbers are. I mean, he and Kirk Cousins have the connection. You just lock him up. I mean, the Saints have no answer for a guy like Thielen. So, I expect another 100 yards from him again, and expect another, you know, 6 to 9 catches. I mean, it's just,
yeah, he's at
just book it.
822 yards already.
That's amazing.
We're not even
that's
not even halfway through the season.
Amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. Testament to hard work, man. The guy really put in the work to be a good receiver. And so,
some Julio numbers. Julio's at 811. So he's, I mean, Julio leads the league in receiving every year in, year out. Yeah. So if you're ahead of Julio, like, that's just,
that's saying something. Yeah,
ridiculous.
Who's your sleeper in this match? In this matchup?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
Ooh.
Diggs had, I believe, hold on, let me go back to week 7 targets, sort by targets. Yeah, Stephon Diggs had 14 targets last week.
Wow.
8 receptions, 33 yards.
Wow.
After a disappointing week like that, this should have been another one of those weeks where Thielen and Diggs both went off. Last week, it didn't happen. People are going to be down on Diggs, but he had more targets, one less reception, and the production just wasn't there, which is kind of crazy because he's usually the guy that has the, you know, it's usually reverse, like where he has more yards and than Thielen and I'm going right back to him.
I'm gonna give you a sleeper I see on the other side of the coin here, and that's Tre'Quan Smith. You guys are on Cam Meredith, you know, earlier in the season. Michael Thomas is secure in his role in the passing offense. Tre'Quan Smith, I know we talked about him last week in terms of not getting the big target share, but he can do some things. And at 5,100, looking at the other options in that price, you know, zone, if you're playing a Thursday through Monday slate, not a bad option. I have to see. I don't see that they have, at least on FanDuel, I don't see the showdown pricing for that Sunday night matchup. But I like Tre'Quan Smith as a sleeper in this one. So let's move on to the Monday night affair and your beloved New England Patriots in a divisional matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Again, not gonna say anything bad about Buffalo. I've been doing that a lot on the podcast this year, so I'm gonna lay off Buffalo a little bit. Okay, I won't lay off a little bit. I'll hit him with this one. If I'm fading anyone in this matchup, I'm actually gonna fade LeSean McCoy. You know this as well as anybody else. The Patriots find a way to neutralize your best weapon. When you look at what Buffalo's trotting out offensively, it is McCoy as sort of the only real weapon. If I'm playing showdown slate, I don't even think you really need to mess with McCoy. I wouldn't know where else he'd go, Buffalo side of the ball, but I gotta fade LeSean. It's not looking so hot for him right now. What about a lock for you in this matchup, Jason?
James White.
Nice. Nice. Yep.
Yeah. Sony's going to be out. Tom's been targeting him a lot. They've been using him as a running back a little bit more than in the past. I think they're really going to have to lean on him. And Buffalo is giving up a lot to running backs. We just saw it again last week. So, yeah, I really like James in this one.
Sounds good. For me, a sleeper, also out of that backfield there in New England, Kenyon Barner. He's got a lot of ability coming out of Oregon. Played with the Eagles for a little bit as well. 5,500, at least on the, you know, Thursday through Monday pricing on FanDuel. He's going to spell James White here and there, so under the radar pick, especially on the showdown slate. So I don't mind Kenyon Barner as a way to, if you want to go with White and Barner and Tom Terrific, and then someone, one of the receiving options in New England, I think you'd be, you know, pretty set for your showdown slate. So you see it any differently?
No, yeah. I see it exactly the same, because I think Kenyon will get enough run, especially if the Patriots should, maybe this is another trap game, but the Patriots should win this pretty handily.
Yeah, I mean, the 13.5-point favorites. I mean, Vegas sees this as a bloodbath. So, and I think most do. So now we have reached the time of the week for our fade, lock, and sleeper of the week. I'm going to give you all three, and then I'm going to let Jason give you his three. So my fade of the week is Jameis Winston. We talked about the reasons why when we were talking about their matchup with the Bengals. My lock of the week, even as price point, but I think it's probably a lock of the week more on DK, is Todd Gurley. I like him a ton on that site. For FanDuel, I'll go double lock this week. FanDuel, I'm going to lock in Joe Mixon as my lock of the week. And my sleeper of the week from my Lions, Marvin Jones at wide receiver. What about you, Jason? Fade of the week.
Oh, I just had it. Derek Carr. Okay. I'm not touching any of that offense without Amari Cooper. I'm just staying away.
That's probably wise. What about your lock?
My lock, I'm going to run with two real quick ones here too. I'm going to go with my mini man, Marlon Mack. I think his price and the opportunity he's going to get this week is just going to be outrageous. And Showtime Mahomes, because you have to have Showtime Mahomes in some lineups.
Well, we get a chance to finally play him on the main slate, right? Because he's been on the showdown slates and, you know, the primetime games, and it's probably going to be primetime games in later seasons too.
He's on it this week, though. Yep, so.
Exactly. So play him while you can. So, Jason, any parting shots for our Week 8 listeners?
No, just, go Pats.
Of course. And I'll say go Lions against the Seahawks.
Go carry on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, go carry on. He's going to help out a lot.
Now that I have him on some of my teams.
Yeah, that was a wise decision you made there. As again, for all of you, we appreciate you listening. We love the support we're getting from the community listening to the podcast. So appreciate that. Again, lineuplogic.com, patreon.com/lineuplogic, excuse me, the way to go. $10 a month gets you access to the different personalities and things and different sports and whatnot. If you're trying to get at Twitter, I'm at SpartanZiller, and Jason is at JMoschel. So with that, for Jason, I'm Quafo. You guys take care and have a profitable week 8. See you later.
Later.